Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone, my pal Chris Zook.
Hi. And I'm just going to let you guys know I have one ear listening and one eye watching as we're doing this.
We're recording this. We record on Thursday nights. We've talked about this. We aired on Friday, but because of, you know, work schedules and such, we're recording on Thursday nights. However, it is Game 5 of the World Series as we talk, and we'd even pushed the recording time back in the hopes that this game would be done. Where, you know, the bottom of the eighth, two out,
good luck,
two
good
on luck that. We may not see the end of this game before the end of this episode, but the games we've had so far, holy crow,
fantastic,
all sorts of stuff.
Well, we have had history in Game 4.
Yeah, I mean, do we want to work our way backwards? So we'll start, sure, with Game 4.
I guess double history, because we had history in Game 3 as well, right?
Well,
they hit the most home runs in World Series history, one game or whatever.
Just wanted to give an update. Astros just got third out. We're going to the ninth inning, 3-2, the Astros lead in Game 5.
There we go. So the combined no-hitter in Game 4 for the Astros.
It's historic because it's the only second no-hitter in World Series history.
It doesn't count as a no-hitter. Let's be serious.
So
it's a combined no-hitter, but it's not a no-hitter. It's not a no-hitter.
It is.
We shouldn't treat it like it is. It's not a no-hitter.
It's not a single pitcher.
We shouldn't treat it that way.
You know,
it's not one dude.
I understand that, but that's not the rule. I mean, you can.
It's absolutely the rule.
No, it isn't.
So MLB, the league itself, is referring to this as a no-hitter.
Yeah,
well, they're wrong too. They're wrong about a lot of things, so Zoo can be wrong with them.
Like, it's the first combined no-hitter in the world.
It's not a no-hitter.
It is a no-hitter. No one got a hit.
No one hit.
No one got a hit.
That's great. That's fine. It's not one dude doing it. It's not a no-hitter. No, it's not. It's got to be one guy, man.
Okay,
it's one pitcher doing it.
Oh, my goodness. Brian, did anyone get a hit in Game 4 from Philadelphia?
Was it one guy pitching?
Oh. I need to step in here because you guys are going down a rabbit hole. Both of you are making a point, but both of you are perseverating on that point. The league is referring to it as a combined no-hitter.
The league also referred to the World Series trophy as a piece of metal.
No, so that was the commissioner.
Who represents the league?
Poorly. However,
well, he's doing
there
it.
There have been other
right
combined
now,
no-hitters throughout the season that have been referred to as no-hitters.
Not by me. I'd like to point that out. They're not.
Okay.
It's not going to go into
the record books. It might not go into Brian Svensson's record book, but it's still going to go into the record books.
I don't know. I mean, other combined no-hitters don't often get referred to, right? When you're talking about no-hitters,
this happened in the World Series.
Okay. That's fine. It's still not one guy. 40 years down the road, they're not going to talk about it. They're not going to be like, hey, you remember that time that they're not going to say it in the same breath as like, hey, you remember that time that Doc threw a no-hitter, an actual no-hitter in the postseason? No, they're not going to talk about it in the same breath. They won't.
Right. But we're not going to see like a lot of opportunities for a true no hitter.
That's like a single pitcher. But we shouldn't anymore. Devalue it just because it's even
I'm not
rare.
Saying we're devaluing it. Well, I'm saying we are pivoting to what we're in the same way that we've adopted statistics and saying like on base percentage and like devaluing RBIs, right? Because like it depends on the person ahead of you. And are you a great hitter just because you have a lot of RBIs? No, not necessarily. We are going to see some different stats and we are going to see some different feats accomplished. And no, and having a team go hitless in the World Series is an accomplishment, whether it took four pitchers to do it or a single pitcher to do it. We're just not going to see as many single pitchers do it because they're not going to work as late into games.
I guess I just don't think we should be celebrating it as the same sort of accomplishment as one guy doing it, because like that's obviously like an actually impressive, like it's even more like it's an actually impressive performance. I just don't, don't think it's nearly as, I don't think it's as impressive because like you, none of those guys went more than twice through the order. Right. So like it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it's a lot of guys, especially the Astros, just kind of getting away with like different pitch mixes and stuff. And it's interesting. It's a curiosity. But I don't
wait a second here. Okay, let's just pause this to next week when there's no World Series going on. Let's celebrate a World Series that is fantastic so far. And semantics aside, we can do this another time, whatever. But it still was a no-hitter that the Phillies did not get a hit in game four. We can agree on that and let's move on.
I don't know. It's been an interesting World Series. I'm happy for Philadelphia. You know, with that being said, like it still doesn't, I don't know. It just kind of reinforces my mind that like neither one of like these two teams aren't the best two teams. It's been fun. But like,
when you say they're the two best two teams, I mean, the Astros,
they won 106 games.
They were like run differential.
They've
clearly
been in
the
World Series for the 6 years. How, again, are you devaluing the Astros here?
No, I think the Astros are a very good team. I think the Phillies are fun, but
the Phillies can be like the Braves, can be like the Nationals, like a couple years ago. They could go on a huge.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I'm rooting for the Phillies. I'm pumped for them, but they're not, you know, it's the same situation with the Astros and the Braves, where like it devalues the playoffs for me.
But that's the system that they had.
Yeah, it just devalues the playoffs for me.
That's when you have three wild cards. Heaven forbid if Major League Baseball had their way, they'd have four wild cards teams. You'd have a team with 80 wins in.
Yeah, I just think it devalues the playoffs even more. And it reinforces to me that like I pretty much just don't have any interest in watching the postseason going forward. This is cool. This is fun. But I don't think I'm going to watch any of the playoffs anymore in baseball. And I just think it's bad. That's all.
Is this like disappointment in your own team then? Like, it's been good baseball.
It's been fine. Like I don't think it's been anything ridiculously
special. What about the comeback in game one? It was 5-0.
Yeah,
there's been
moments, but like I haven't been overly impressed with like most of the baseball. It's been fine, but like not any, in my mind, it hasn't been anything special. It's not been a postseason to rival. Like it doesn't rival how awesome the regular season was. This regular season was one of the best regular seasons that Major League Baseball has ever had. And the playoffs have just kind of seemed to me like a disappointment in comparison.
Okay. So the 18 inning game that was 0-0 in that day.
Yeah. It hasn't really compared to how awesome of a regular season it was. And again, the fact that like how much randomness there was, the fact that we're getting a team like the Phillies who are fine, but you know, let's be honest, they're not one of the best teams in Major League Baseball and they've got a real shot at winning here, means to me again, that like the postseason just doesn't mean anything.
But it's been like that for a while now.
And I've been saying this for years on this show, too.
But the Twins won in 87 with 85 wins. So we've had teams that had lower win totals than what the Phillies might do if they win this. Like, I mean, it is just sort of what it is a bit. This is the system that they've set up now where they want more teams to be involved.
And it means less because of it. That's all.
To you.
To a lot of people. To a lot of people. I think you'd find out that's the growing sentiment among younger fans, that the playoffs mean less. And if that's the way that it's going, especially among younger fans, then that's meaningful. That's meaningful. You guys just talked about how it's like, it's discouraging that they're putting the games later because of younger fans. Younger fans.
It has nothing to do with what the game is itself. The games have been great. This has been a great World Series. So
I disagree. It's been fine.
Oh, I mean, we had, so Justin Verlander in game one, looking for that elusive first win. Coughs up.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been some cool narratives, but outside of the game one comeback and the Phillies hitting a million bombs in game three, like it hasn't been great baseball in my opinion. It's fine. And again, like we're seeing it again tonight on the night that we're recording. I've been watching the game. I wouldn't call it great baseball. It hasn't been interesting. I fell asleep on the couch twice.
Okay, but if the Jays were in here, you'd be falling asleep right now in a game like this? 3-2 in the ninth.
If it was the Blue Jays, it doesn't. And again, if my team was interesting, doesn't really help your point. That just reinforces the point more about it being like a local game.
You don't care because you don't care about these teams.
I care about the Phillies. I like the Phillies. I'm here for the Phillies. I want them to win. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a reasonable question to ask, though.
Like a 3-2 game in the ninth in game five.
It hasn't been good. I don't know. Inherent drama.
But what hasn't been good, Brian? Like, you have drama here. You have great defensive plays, good pitching.
I don't think the pitching has been that great. Nobody's been really.
Verlander got out of a bases load jam in the second inning where the game was could have been blown up on him, and he pitched out of it, got five strong innings of a Hall of Famer who's had a hard time during the World Series to try and get a win.
Nobody's been locating. His stuff was fine-ish, but it's just been like, whatever, kind of meh hitting. It's been guys disappearing at all the right moments. The Phillies finally got guys in scoring position with one out. And then what happens? Brandon Marsh swings at three pitches that are well out of the zone that he shouldn't have. I don't know, man. It's been kind of bad baseball. I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
I guess in your opinion there, Brian, because I've seen a different series here. I've quite enjoyed it. And I couldn't give two hoots about these teams. Be honest,
we had a wild first game, right? Like where, you know, the Astros went to 10th inning earlier and then they cough it up and they go to 10. We had a trouncing the Phillies 7-0 with all those bombs. We had the Astros then respond with a trouncing of their own. And then now we've got a really tight game.
Despite the fact that it was a combined no-hitter, that wasn't an interesting game either.
And on top of it, you've got the Phillies wearing the powder blues. That alone is a fantastic World Series. Oh, my God.
You can't possibly tell me that a series is more interesting just because a team wears a different jersey. That's ridiculous.
Just drop it down like 20 notches. I'm joking. But it's cool, the uniform. That's all. Yeah. Okay, we got it. We got it.
It's ridiculous.
What is ridiculous? Like, I'm just joking around about it's nice that they got the part of blues. Big deal.
Okay.
Like, you know what, Brian? I'm just going to tell you something. Not everything here is an argument. We're just enjoying baseball. If you don't enjoy it, that's fine. But I think we've enjoyed this series so far. And I couldn't care less who wins this. I mean, I'm cheering for Dusty and I'm cheering for the Phillies. But that's it. You know, it's just been good baseball. If we get a game seven, that'd be even better. It'll go against Sunday Night Football. Who cares? I'll be watching baseball.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind Justin Verlander finally getting his first World Series win, especially after that game one. His ERA,
it was in the stratosphere, that's for sure.
So he allowed five runs over five innings in game one. His ERA is the highest among any pitcher with at least 30 innings pitched in the World Series. It's 6.07.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's salvaged it a bit tonight.
He's brought it down a bit tonight.
And he still,
he did exit the game with the lead, so he still has a chance.
Yeah. We'll see. We've got the bottom of the ninth coming up here with the Phillies. It's still 3-2.
Yeah.
Astros in game five.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a story I've been, you know, certainly interested in leading into this series, and yes, cheering for Dusty for sure.
I will say it was interesting what, in the game three of leaving McCullers in. I'm not too sure about that. I mean, at a certain point, maybe he could have pulled him, but I guess, I mean, what I read maybe was hindsight after that he was just kind of saving his bullpen for game four and onwards. I mean, it's easier said after game four result, but I mean, yeah, I mean, there's always these little intricacies of the World Series and managing decisions and stuff, but yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, that's, you know, now it's a best of three here, and maybe by the end of this podcast or this of our show here, we'll see if we got a winner for game five.
Yeah. So the other streak that, I mean, obviously was maybe not as crazy as the combined no-hitter was, did you see Yuli Gurriel? His strike, he had yet to strike out in the postseason. Until game four, he finished with 48 at bats without a strikeout, and he tied his own record. In 2019 he had 48 plate appearances, so he's fourth and fifth on the all-time list in a single postseason. Joey Cora for 1995 with the Mariners had 51 plate appearances without a strikeout. David Eckstein, 50 with the 06 Cardinals, and Juan Pierre had 49 for the 03 Marlins were the only guys ahead of him. But he was finally notched out by Connor Brogdon.
So I guess Cora inning. Was the only one that was not on a winning team then, right?
Cards and Marlins. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was just a little piece that I hadn't noticed and was kind of reading up on some of the games and some of the stuff that's been going out. Yeah, longest postseason stretch without a strikeout until Connor Brogdon struck him out in game four.
There was a managerial signing, I guess, this week as well.
Yeah. Well, speaking of managerial stuff, we didn't mention it last week on the show, but the Phillies manager is the first Canadian to act as skipper in a World Series.
Oh, another reason to cheer for the Phillies,
so,
right?
There's something that we didn't touch on, but yeah, certainly a notch in their favor. Yeah, so off the diamond, the moves this week. I mean, every other team is kind of keeping one eye on the World Series, but also, you know, starting to kind of look ahead at 2023.
I believe was Charlie Montoya also he's going to be with the White Sox as well as a bench coach. Would that be correct? Did I read that right?
Well, they can have him. If they enjoy having toxic managers, they can have him.
Well, I did see this week as well that they're renovating Rogers
Center. Oh, tearing up the 500 level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw they sent some pictures on Twitter this week, and I didn't know that was happening there. I know they got the new.
They made a really big announcement like right before the playoffs started that they were planning on doing that after the playoffs.
So what are they doing then? So they
completely renovating the entire
upper deck.
Not even just that. They're completely renovating basically the entire outfield seating. They're changing where the bullpens are. They're adding like a whole bunch, like a couple of, I think a restaurant out there. They're renovating like the entire, they're putting in a new board, a video board and,
I'm sure they'll probably be a betting place or whatever.
Yeah,
sure.
It wouldn't shock me.
Every stadium is doing that nowadays.
It wouldn't shock me.
Sportsnet does their like broadcast.
Well, they have a different
right? Like don't they usually set up like a
they're gonna
behind
have
the building on like the,
yeah, I think that's normally where Jamie Campbell is.
Yeah.
Joe Seidel.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they were, I remember that at the end of the Blue Jay season, they were saying that they're going to have a new set for next year. So one out in the ninth inning here, no one on base right now.
So it was Pedro Grifol, who was announced as the new skipper for the White Sox. He's a member of formerly of the Royals staff that won the World Series. Yeah, so this was announced, I guess, by Scott Rick Hahn, the GM of the White Sox. So he's been signed to a multi-year contract as the 42nd different manager in White Sox history, officially announced Thursday. This is from Scott Merkin on MLB.com on their news.
Can't possibly be worse than what they had before.
So. Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. He, of course, the previous occupant of that seat chose not to return for a third year. He departed the team August 30th due to health concerns related to his pacemaker, with bench coach Miguel Cairo taking over.
Big catch in the outfield here. Two outs now for Houston on Real Muto. Right at the wall there. Sorry.
No problem.
Just giving the quick update.
Wait, did you say Real Muto made the catch at the wall?
No. Real Muto.
Oh, it was on. I was like,
it was a very long fly. It was a caught by McCormick.
Right. Gotcha. So apparently the candidate search started at 22.
22
names. This is absurd.
Okay, so they just basically what they just picked out of a hat, or 22? My goodness.
So okay. According to Hahn, this is
fully vetted. Let's say that
22 candidates, but they swelled to 30 after hearing from people in the organization.
Oh my goodness. Reinsdorf does have a habit of making some weird hires, right? Like
right. And I mean, it was
Jerry Krause. Right, and Jerry Krause wasn't a basketball guy either, right? So like he kind of tends to cast a really wide net. Sometimes it works, other times it's Tony La Russa.
They tried it with La Russa. I mean, they won a division 1 year, and then this year was off the rails, and that's how it goes.
I mean, we talked about it that I'm pretty sure they won the division last year in spite of him, not because of him.
Yeah, it'll still be on his record.
So apparently they whatever took that. So they initially 22 to 30 jumped by 8, then they pared it down to 8 actual candidates for interviews.
Just 8, okay.
Yeah, and then they sat down ultimately with Executive Vice President Ken Williams, GM Hahn, and then Reinsdorf in Arizona.
They just showed Bryce Harper's numbers for the postseason. Pretty absurd so far. He's up at the bat here with two outs here, 2-0 count.
Yeah,
he's been very good, and I'm really glad that he's been able to do this because it puts away the notion that he's not clutch.
Well, I mean, that's what the postseason's all about. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Verlander, as good as he is, it is a bit of, it's a bit of a mark just because you do, when it's on the line, you want your stars to kind of produce. And yeah, Harper has been MVP. If they go on to win this, he's definitely the MVP of the World Series. I mean, for the Phillies,
I think he probably goes into the hall then, right?
I think he might have been there already, but I mean, he's won a couple of MVP. He just got hit.
Well, I mean, I think it's a longevity thing too. Like he needs to keep,
there's no doubt. Sure. There's no
right. But putting up numbers because he's got two MVPs, which is really good. But I think if he gets the World Series MVP, I think it kind of turns into one of those no doubt cases. Oh, he got hit by a pitch.
Yeah. Right. Which isn't for the Astros, maybe not the worst thing, to be honest, because you might, you'd rather give him a base.
Well, and it's wild that he's been doing this with a busted UCL. Like he needs Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. I mean, and again, that rule change really helped him. He could be the DH, since
I wonder what they do with him, right? Because he's obviously still able to hit even with the elbow problem. Do you just let him play out the rest of his career as only a DH because you value his hitting so much, or do you send him off? Like, because if he has a surgery, he can't hit, right? Like, cause that's what they held Ohtani out for that time because he can't hit after the surgery. It needs time to recover. Right. And Tommy John's not one of those ones that it's easy to come back from. He'd miss a whole season. Do the Phillies really, can they really miss Bryce Harper for an entire year?
What's he got left on his contract right now?
It might depend.
A long time.
Yeah.
It might depend if they win this World Series. Maybe if they win it, then they say, oh, you know, we can give a year off. I'm not too sure, right? I mean, it'd be an interesting dilemma, depending on what happens here. But regardless, he's played well. I mean, he's been, you know, MVP caliber the second half of this season for sure.
Year four of his 13-year deal right now. So he conceivably missed one. I mean, admittedly,
you're paying to
risk going into his age 30 season, though. That's the other question, right? So yeah, do you? I mean, especially with Phillies with like the history with Ryan Howard and like that, you have to wonder about, you know, protecting their like major slugger.
But if you have him for 13 years, right, you might have to look at the long haul and say,
yeah,
hey, you still just want him for
like, yeah, take but that I mean, one like year off.
Realistically, you don't think that, you know, they signed him to 13 years, but they don't expect him to play at a high level for 13 years.
No,
but you'd want him for, I mean,
I think they probably
want him
as
long,
right,
as possible. Yeah. You know, you want to extend it as long as you could. Right. I mean, yeah, these contracts are a bit, yeah. When you get, you know,
he's 30, right. So he's in, Mike said, you said he was in year four of 13, mm-hmm, right. That means 9 years left. He signed till he's 39. Like they're not expecting him to be.
No, but another 34, 4 or 5 years. Easy.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get at least another four.
So like that's the question, right? Like, do you risk a year in his kind of late prime, you know, when he's still clearly one of the best hitters in baseball, in order to make sure that he's like better slightly longer? Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not the Phillies GM. I'm not Bryce Harper. I'm not his doctors. I don't know. That's a tough question. That's not one that'd be one that would keep me up at night if I was, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's something that he might have to answer, right? How did he feel this year? Like, we don't know, like, what his pain threshold is. Like, is he in literally pain every day he's playing and he's kind of gutting it out, right?
From my own personal experience with losing my own UCL, there's no pain with it.
And we're done in game five here. The Astros won. Oh,
Castellanos.
Yeah. Presley just got the last out. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's okay.
We actually have a winner.
So it's 3-2 for the Astros.
And they go back home now. So, and yeah.
With my own personal experience missing a UCL, it's not pain. It's just when you exert it in the wrong way, the arm goes numb. That's all.
Hmm.
And I mean, I don't know. Like I lost mine through throwing a baseball, right? So I have to assume my experience is similar, especially from what I've read or been told from other baseball players. So I imagine it's probably not a ton of pain going on. It's probably just if you tweak it the wrong way, your arm goes numb.
Right.
Which is not useful.
No, and not good for a power hitter, especially. So
interesting. They just threw up this statter World Series fact. Game five winner when tied at 2 has gone on to win 30 of the previous 45 series, 67%. And then they give the caveat. Seven of the last 15 instances. So then it's 47%. So it seems like
so it's historically more significant.
Did the Astros go up 3-2 on the Nationals? That I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think they did, right? I think the Astros went up 3-2 on the Nationals.
Is that the one in 2017 we're talking about?
No. The Nationals won in 2019.
Yeah, so 2019. That one I got to be honest, I blanked out on that one. I wasn't really.
Well, I remember the last outs, and I remember it being in Houston. So I think it was a 2019.
It was 2019 for the Nationals win. That's for sure. I just don't know.
Yeah, Houston went up 3-2. They won Game 5, 7-1, and then lost.
Now, where were the next two? Were they in Washington or Houston?
Both of the next two games were in Houston.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it can happen. Okay.
Yeah. Games 5, yeah. 6, and 7 were all in Houston.
I mean, Houston's giving themselves the chance now to win it at home, but there's no guarantee, right? Because this series has kind of swung back and forth a bit. We got at least a game 6 and maybe even a game 7, for Sunday, right? But at least game 6 will be on Saturday there. And Houston at least has made it. You know, they're now back in the driver's seat with a couple of big wins here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's probably a good spot to end it then. Because sure. The game ended. We can
yeah, talk we can about, end.
Yeah. We can,
what's going on at the pity party?
I threw up a bunch of just tracks that I've been listening to lately. I've been really honestly so sick lately. And then we got this new dog. So I just really haven't had a ton of time. So like, I didn't really do anything special. It was just what I've been listening to a ton lately. I have a section in there, where I play a bunch of Mom Jeans tracks because they're coming to Winnipeg in April. So I'm pretty excited about that. They're probably the biggest indie band or biggest, not indie band, but emo band to come to Winnipeg.
That's April 2023.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm really, really insanely excited about that. Like really super excited. And because it's a big deal. Like if we do a good job at selling this event and people show up, not only just for them, but for Bearings, who's a really good opener, like a really good band, they're opening for them. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, maybe we can start, you know, with Citizen having a really good turnout, I heard. Maybe we're going to start getting more emo bands here. And that's pretty huge. So.
Well, next week we'll have a recap of someone winning a World Series this year in 2022. Now let's play ball!
Strike three, you're out!